أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكما حكمة وفقها في الدين. اللهم علمنا التأويل وفقهنا في الدين، وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك يا أكرم الأكرمين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome, congratulate your brothers and sisters for coming, inshallah, for this class on the tafsir of the Quran al-Azim. And we ask Allah to give us beneficial knowledge and benefit us through our time together, inshallah. So as usual, inshallah, we'll recite the ayahs that we'll be going over in the beginning, inshallah, and then we'll talk about some of the vocabulary of these ayat, and then go into the general meanings of the verses, and finally talk about the rulings and the ahkam from these beautiful verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا وبينوا فأولئك أتوب عليهم وأنا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in these verses, what means? Indeed, those who hide what we have sent down from the clear signs and guidance, after we have made it clear and apparent for them in the book, then they are those whom Allah curses, and those who curse their curses upon them. Except those who make tawbah from what they did and rectify and make clear what they had hidden, then those I will turn to them in forgiveness. Allah Azza wa Jalla will turn to them in forgiveness, and I am indeed the forgiving, the most merciful. These verses are in Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 159 and 160 from Surah Al-Baqarah. First we'll start out, let's come together and look over some of the meanings of the words in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ. What does يَكْتُمُونَ mean in Arabic? يَكْتُمُونَ comes from the word كِتْمَان. And كِتْمَان, it literally means to hide something that should be made clear to the people. When you have something that people are asking about, of knowledge, or there is something that needs to be known amongst the people, and yet one hides it, this is called kitman. This is called hiding kitman, and this is what the ayah is referring to. Indeed, those who hide the knowledge that must be made clear to the people. And the people have a need for this knowledge. They have a need for it, and there's an importance to make it clear, yet they hide it from the people. They keep it hidden from the people, and they do not show it. And we'll see in a moment that these verses are referring to the Bani Israel, the Yehud and Nasara, and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the signs specifically in their books that mention the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In their books, there are verses that mention the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Yehud and the Nasara, they hid those signs, those isharat that of the coming of the Nabi, they hid it from the people. So this verse is referring to those people who hid the knowledge from the people, and even though it was necessary upon them, it was obligatory upon them to make it known to their people. It is obligatory to make known to the people the knowledge, and it's haram to hide it from the people. So they committed this sin. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Al-bayinat in Arabic comes from the word bayin, which means the clear ayahs, or the clear signs that show the truth. Bayinat is something that's very clear and apparent that points towards the truth, which is what they had written in the Torah. The Torah mentioned the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, Yet they hid those signs, especially the Ahbar, as we'll see in a moment, because of the sabab of Nuzul. When this ayah was revealed, it was specifically regarding a group of Ahbar, or rabbis, that were asked about the signs of the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, and they hid the knowledge from the people. So here, Allah sent His bayinat, His clear signs to them, in their books, through their prophets. One huda, and also the huda, Allah sent them the huda, which is the things that show the importance or the guidance that came in their books that commanded them to follow the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet that would come. The huda, the guidance and the commands, they hid that from the people. So, what happened to those people? أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. They are the ones whom the curse of Allah, and la'ana in Arabic, it means طَرْد مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. It means to be put away from Allah's rahmah. When we say that Allah curses a person, what this refers to is that Allah removes him from His rahmah. A person is left without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah says, upon them is the la'na, the removal from the mercy of Allah, and the la'na of the la'inun, and the curse of those who curse. Who are the la'inun? The ulama, they say that the la'inun are all of the creatures of the earth. All of the creatures of the earth, they curse those who hide the knowledge of the coming of the Nabu'ah of the Prophet ﷺ, and actually all knowledge. Those people who hide the true knowledge, although they know it is the haqq, they hide the truth about Islam, or they twist the ayahs of Allah to confuse the people and keep them away from Islam, then who curses them? Allah and all of the creation, as well as the angels and the anbiya, everything in creation curses them. This is according to Mujahid. Mujahid, he gave this interpretation. All of the creatures of the earth, they say, they curse those because they say that the rain is forbidden for us because of your hiding the truth from the people. The people reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of them hiding the truth. And then because of that, Allah withholds the rain. He withholds the rain for the people, and then the animals suffer from that. And so the animals, they curse those people who hide and twist the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to keep the people in ignorance. Or they hide the isharat of the nubu'ah of the Prophet ﷺ in order to keep people from following the haqq, from following Islam, in order that they continue to follow the rabbis and the priests that try to prevent people from the truth. And also we find in these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Except those who turn to Allah in repentance. Even these people who committed such a great sin, they still have a path to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you may be familiar, it begins with nadam. The first, the tawbah to be accepted, it has to fulfill three conditions. There has to be nadam, which means the person has to acknowledge that what he did was wrong. He must have regret that what he did was something that took him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was a disobedience to Allah. Second of all, the person must completely go away from the sin. إِقْلَاعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ. He has to go away from that sin and all the pathways that lead him towards that sin. And number three, the person has to have a firm resolve never to go back to do what he had done. And so Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. However, He doesn't say only that. He adds to that, وَأَصْلَحُوا. Except those who make tawbah. But it's not enough to simply make tawbah and say, we hid this knowledge from our people and they went astray. But they have to aslahu. They have to rectify the wrong that they did by making clear to the people what they had hidden. وَبَيَّنُوا. And Allah says, and they make clear. So in order for their tawbah to be accepted, they have to make clear the signs that they hid from the people. Or if they lied to the people and they twisted the verses of Allah, they have to tell the truth to the people about Islam in order for Allah to turn to them in repentance. So these ayahs, to talk about the background of the ayahs, there was people from the Yahud and the Nasara, they were present in Medina. There was Christians and Jewish people in the city of Medina, and many of them, especially the leaders of the Yahud, the Ahbar, They hid the signs of the Nabuwa that they found in the Torah. And when they were asked about it, they hid these verses that were present in the Torah. They hid them from the people in order to prevent them from believing in the Prophet Muhammad. And also what they would do is they would twist the words of the Quran in order to disobey the Prophet. Allah says, لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا مُبُرْنَا. They used to twist the words of the Quran in order to mislead the people. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. They said, we hear and we disobey. So they used to be tricky with the words in order to keep people, to play with the verses of the Quran in order to lead people astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He exposes them in these ayahs. And He says, oh you Yahud and Nasara who are hiding the verses of Allah from your people, beware of the wrath and the punishment and the curse of Allah, as well as all of the creation until the end of time. And it's recorded in the book of the Quran that this punishment is for them. So again, these verses are talking about hiding religious knowledge. Hiding the religious knowledge from the people. And as we'll see, it applies not only to the Yahud and Nasara, but to anybody who hides knowledge from the people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He has sent His clear verses to the previous nations. He has sent them to the Yahud and Nasara. However, they deliberately hide these verses. And they find the description of Prophet Muhammad SAW written in their books. They find his description written in their books. However, in the Injil and in the Torah, however, they go away from that and they hide that from the people. The Ahbar, there's many amongst the Jewish and Christian people who know the truth about Islam. But because of arrogance, or because of wanting the Prophet ﷺ to be from the Jewish tribe and not from the Arab tribe, they hid those verses and they reject him. Even though they look at the Sharia of Islam and they see the signs of the truth of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So these people, they deserve the removal from the rahmah of Allah and the curse of the angels and all of creation, and unless they turn to Allah in repentance. And so the specific event that took place when these verses were revealed, the Sabab al-Nazul, was when Mu'adh ibn Jabal and some of the Sahaba, they went to a group of the rabbis of the Jews. And they asked them about some of the verses that were in the Torah that they used to recite. So they hid those verses. They covered them up and they denied that those verses existed. And also, they were asked about the punishment for the zani. And again, when two of the Jewish people who committed zina, so they asked, they brought the Torah, and they said, show us the verses in the Torah regarding the zina. Those who committed zina, adultery, so they covered them up with their hands, in order that they could not read the verses that talked about the punishment for the zani. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. Indeed, those who hide what Allah has revealed from the clear and apparent signs. Now, a few of the beautiful uses of or eloquence in the language of the Quran in these verses, I'll mention a few of them. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ. أولئك يلعنهم الله. This is an ism al-ishara. Is this for qareeb or ba'eed? Ba'eed, nah. هؤلاء means something close. أولئك is something far away. So أولئك يلعنهم الله. The mufassirin, they say this is to show how far away they've gone from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't say هؤلاء يلعنهم الله. He said أولئك, to indicate they've gone far away from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are called lata'if al-tafsir. These are part of the eloquence of the Qur'an that some people who reflect on the verses, they take note of. So Allah wanted to show how far away from the guidance they have gone. And also Allah says, وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Allah says, and they are cursed by the cursing, by those who curse. So يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. This is a type of eloquence in the Quran called الْجِنَاسَ الْمُغَايَرَ. Jinas and Mughayyad, when you have the verb and the noun, or the verb and the doer of the same, having the same root. يَلْعَنُهُمْ اللَّاعِنُونَ. They both come from لَعْنَ. To emphasize how much of the wrath of Allah that will be upon them, or how far they have gone again from the rahmah of Allah. And then it's something also very beautiful in these ayahs. Allah says in the beginning, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. He uses the plural form of the verb. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا. The na refers to the royal deed. But then when he talks about his tawbah, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. أَتُوبُ. Is this plural or singular? It's from the singular tense. So Allah changes from the plural tense to the singular, especially when he talks about his rahmah. In order for us to know that his rahmah is very close, and to make it more personal. So we find oftentimes when Allah talks about his mercy and his forgiveness, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask about me, then I am close. Allah didn't say we are close, because this is a matter of mercy of Allah and his forgiveness and his love. So he shows that closeness and that rahmah by using the singular term in the Quran. So these are some of the beautiful eloquence that we find, some of the eloquence that we find in this ayah. Now we just have a few of the rulings that we take from this hadith, or we take from this ayah, I'm sorry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions this in this ayah, the Yahud and the Nasara, or he says those who hide the knowledge, and as we saw in the Sahih al-Nazul, it was the Yahud and Nasara. So is this verse only, does it only apply to the Yahud and Nasara? Or can it also apply to the Muslims? Anything?
It should have a broader sense.
That's right. It's broader than that. The verses of the Quran, there's a general rule we have when we go to the tafsir, which is an ibaratu bi umum al-lafz wa la bi khusus al-sabab. The lesson or the warning of the Quran is by the generality of its meaning, and not for the specific reason for which it is revealed. You might have a verse that was revealed about a specific person. However, the warning or the lesson is for every person who reads the verse. So we take the general meaning of the ayat. However, we look at the reason behind the revelation in order to better understand what Allah intended by the verse. So again, the scholars would say, أَلْعِبْرَةُ بِعُمُومَ اللَّهُ. The lesson is by the general meaning, وَلَا بِخُصُوصِ السَّبَبِ, and not by the specific reasoning. This ayah was revealed specifically regarding those Yahud that hid the verses of the Torah about the Prophet Muhammad. But if you look at the words themselves, indeed those who hide, يَتْتَمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنْ بَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. Those who hide whatever Allah has revealed from the clear signs. So anybody who hides what Allah has revealed from the clear signs, then they are those who earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the scholars, they say that it applies in general to all people. And also we see in the sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ فَكَتَمَهُ أُلْجِمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِنِجَامٍ لِلنَّارِ. This is narrated by Imam Suyuti, that whoever is asked about knowledge and he hides it, then he will wear a lijam, which is what they put on a horse to restrain the horse. He will wear that on the Day of Judgment, and it will be made out of fire. I think they call it a bit or something like this that they put on the horse. He will wear that. It will be one made out of fire on the Day of Judgment. So hiding the knowledge that Allah has given to a person is a big sin, and especially those who know the truth about Islam, for example, but they use words and they misguide the masses of people by writing or through their words, and they mislead many people. There are many people who are experts in the Quran and they know the correct meanings of the Quran, but they twist the ayat. For example, we often find the first verses of Surah Tawbah, and they like to quote that ayat, فَقْتَلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ, and they don't quote the ayat before or the ayat after, where Allah says, and keep your contract with those who keep their contract with you and do not wrong them. They only take the verse that they know will mislead the masses of people, and they use that to misguide many, many people. So this applies to any person who hides religious knowledge, who hides the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them. Okay? And also we have Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. An interesting story is that he was very much afraid to narrate any hadith, because he didn't want to say something wrong on the words on the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ. But he said, if it wasn't for one ayah in the whole Qur'an, if it wasn't for that ayah, I would never have spoken a word to all of you. You know, Abu Huraira is the most prolific hadith narrator. Thousands of hadith he narrated. But he said, if it wasn't for this one ayah, I would have never narrated any hadith at all. And then he recited the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنْ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. So Abu Huraira, he was very much afraid of hiding the knowledge, and for that reason he narrated so many of the hadith. Okay, we have one other ruling that the scholars talk about. And they say, is it permissible for a person to take a salary or to take payment for the teaching of the Qur'an to the people? Is it permissible to do that? Because if we look at the verse, it says that whoever hides the knowledge from the people, then he will have the punishment. And those who hide the knowledge, they will have the wrath of Allah. So the scholars, in general, they say that taking payment in order to teach people the Qur'an is a sin, or it is not allowed to take any payments, because you're obligated to teach the people. Whatever you know of knowledge, you have to teach the people. And these are, especially in the old days, and this was in the Hanafi school especially, they said that it was not allowed to take any payment for teaching people the Qur'an. Because they said that to teach the people the Qur'an is an obligation, just like salah. And you cannot take a payment for performing salah. Likewise, you're not allowed to take a payment to teach the Qur'an in the Hanafi school. The Shafi school, they did allow taking a payment for recitation of the Qur'an or teaching the Qur'an. But within the Hanafi school, we find that the later scholars, they allowed it. They allowed a person to take a payment. And the reason for that is they said that if a person is busy earning his wealth for the dunya and taking care of his dunya concerns, then he will not have time to spend his devotee's time to the religious knowledge. And so he will become busy with seeking the worldly things, and he will not have time to teach people. And for this reason, the knowledge will become lost, because people will become so busy with fulfilling their worldly needs that they will not have time to spread the knowledge. And so for that reason, they allow the taking of a payment for the teaching of the Qur'an or for religious knowledge. Because they said that it was more important to preserve the religion, and that in order to allow people to benefit from the time of the religious scholars, they allow them to take payment for that in order to fulfill their religious needs. Now, which opinion is stronger? The opinion of the older scholars of the Hanafi school that it's forbidden, or the later scholars? Sheikh Sabuni, which is one of the Mufassirin, he said, if we look at the state of the Ummah today, and if we look at it from the point of view of a scholar, a fiqhi point of view, he said that you find that religious knowledge is almost lost anyway. It's almost become so rare that people have religious knowledge. So if we take the fatwa of the early ulama that say it's haram to take any payment for teaching knowledge, he said we'll be in an even worse state. You know, even now when the ulama, they allow taking of the payment for teaching, he said we see how few people are eager to seek knowledge and to study Islamic sciences. So what if we tell them that it's haram to take any payment at all, then even fewer people will devote themselves. So for this reason, he said that he prefers the opinion of the later ulama that allow the taking of the payment in order for a person to devote himself fully to teaching the Islamic knowledge and learning the Islamic knowledge. And what we learn from these ayahs, and to conclude, is that the Yahud and the Nasara, they have clear ayahs pointing out the coming of the Nabuwa of the Prophet ﷺ, but they hid them. Also, that it is forbidden to hide religious knowledge because knowledge is an amanah from Allah, it's a trust from Allah. So if somebody asks one about knowledge, he must spread it. He must teach it, and it's a big responsibility, and it is an obligation to spread knowledge. Tabligh and Nashur al-Ilm, it's one of the obligatory things upon the Ummah. And finally, whoever does hide that knowledge, then they deserve the curse of all of creation, as Allah mentions in the ayah. And the Prophet ﷺ, to conclude, he said, بَلْغِهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. بَلْغِهُ is taklif. It is an obligation. عَنِّي is tashrif. It is an honor. وَلَوْ آيَةً, even one ayah, is takhfif. You have taklif, tashrif, and takhfif. You have the obligation. بَلْغِهُ عَنِّي is the tashrif, the honor of teaching whatever the Prophet brought. وَلَوْ آيَةً is takhfif, it's easy. No person can say, I don't know one ayah of the Qur'an. There's something that Allah has made easy for all of us to learn and to teach, inshaAllah. So this is the obligation upon all of us, that whatever we learn, we should always convey it to others, inshaAllah ta'ala. And so with this, we'll conclude with these ayat, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Is there any questions? Welcome to ask. Comments, the brothers and sisters also, and welcome to us, inshallah. Brother Rizwa, any questions? No? Inshallah. Sisters, if you have any questions, you can pass them under the door if you have any. MashaAllah. May Allah bless you with the Quran and Al-Azim and increase you much in knowledge and benefit, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair, may Allah increase all in knowledge and help you to spread the knowledge to others, inshaAllah, and give you understanding of the Quran. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Barakallahu fiik.